The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
How about some of those familiar faces to start the show? You're on NFL Live.
I look like Dan in the face. Nice and trim.
Those were the days, Listen, a couple of the league's biggest pass-catching stars on display this weekend in wild card games. Coming up later, Keyshawn Johnson will tell you the three most important pass catchers in games this week, and we welcome you to NFL Live. Key's there. Dan's there. We got Marcus Spears and Adam Schefter here, too. Let's begin with the latest on the Browns ahead of an enormous matchup with the Steelers on Sunday night. And as Cleveland has attempted to control this COVID outbreak all week long, everyone keeps their fingers crossed that this game can still be played. We already know head coach Kevin Stefanski is out after testing positive, which means no presence with the team on game day, of course, can only be part of game planning from a distance during this week. So, Adam Schefter, it's Thursday. What's the latest in Cleveland?
Well, Laura, another Browns player tested positive today. Ronnie Harrison, the team's safety, tested positive, was placed on COVID-19 reserve list, and he will be out for Sunday's game, which as of now is still scheduled to be played. Now, again, the word was if there were any further positive tests, then it could be called into question. There was another positive test. There was Ronnie Harrison's positive test. Right now, we are waiting to see if there are any postponements, any hangups. It doesn't seem to be the case so far. It looks like the league is continuing to do what it has done all season long, which is plow through at this point in time. Now, the Browns did activate Andrew Sandejo off the reserve COVID-19 list. So there was a bit of good news for the Cleveland franchise as they jockey back and forth between players who test positive and players who are getting over the virus.
Yeah, we will continue to keep our eye on this. And of course, Adam Schefter with us all show long. Let's head over to the NFC, where on paper, the Saints are the biggest favorite this weekend. ESPN's Football Power Index gives New Orleans a 79% chance to beat the Bears on Sunday. Chicago hadn't won a game at the Superdome since 1991. That was, by the way, when Mike Ditka was still their head coach. So, Adam, they might be huge favorites, but the Saints do have some major question marks at two skill positions. What do we know about the status of Alvin Kamara right now?
Well, what they did, Laura, this is really interesting, is they put a decoder in his house, and he's been watching practices as Sean Payton, the Saints head coach, is mic'd up and talking to him and walking him through it. So Alvin Kamara literally has been practicing virtually by remote control, basically, as Sean Payton is walking through what he's supposed to be doing. He's got the live video decoder in his house. He's watching practice, and that's how it's working out. As for Michael Thomas, back at practice today, and the expectation all along has been that he would be ready to go for the opening playoff game. Nothing different there. He's missed the last three games, nine games in total this season because of a nagging ankle injury, but he is on track to play Sunday against the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, music to Keyshawn's ears right here is that's his nephew.
I don't know anything.
Anyway, well, let's talk about the Bears, though, Dan, because the numbers don't like their chances, obviously, here. But what do you think they could do? How can they pull off a huge upset against the Saints?
Go back a couple weeks and watch how the Philadelphia Eagles attack this Saints defense. You know, this Saints defense is so man coverage predicated, they've got to get Mitchell Trubisky outside the pocket a ton. Just like Philadelphia did. A big part of their plan was, okay, Jalen Hurts, we're going to allow your athleticism to be a benefit to us. So you saw some design quarterback run. You saw the play action pass or the bootleg pass where he comes out and attacks the perimeter. We also saw that he went number one, maybe to number two in his progression to, okay, I'm going to go use my feet. That's the way Mitchell Trubisky has to play this game. This isn't a game where you try to pick apart the defense and go 1, 2, 3, 4 to be super efficient. 1 to a crease in your offensive line and go make some plays with your feet. If he gets 8 carries and then 8 throws outside of the pocket and they're successful throwing the ball that way, I think the Bears can pull off a huge upset if their defense holds down that New Orleans Saints offense somewhat.
I like what you're saying, D.O. Like, use the athleticism. Okay. You know, I think about Mitchell Trubisky and David Montgomery, and I think back to Alvin Kamara and Drew Brees and how effective they were in that run. Philadelphia against New Orleans with Miles Sanders and Jalen in the run game. These runs, these type of runs, these explosive plays are created because of an athletic quarterback, because you're defending a lot more than you usually are. So Matt Nagy has to let Mitchell Trubisky be that. And then David Montgomery has to have a day in ways we are looking in order for the Bears to be able to beat the New Orleans Saints. Against Green Bay, David Montgomery had 22 carries. So they tried to run the football, but he only had 69 yards, averaging 3.1. That's not going to get it done. Mitchell Trubisky is going to have to create some opportunities for David Montgomery in this run game as well. And I look forward to seeing it, because we talk about how the Saints can rush the passer. The secondary came along with all of those names in the back. But when you are defensively have to play against 11, which Dan is talking about with Mitchell Trubisky, things become a little bit different. So I'm interested to see how the run game plays out.
We want to know, do they have a shot and how they can get it done, Marcus? You mentioned a running game and David Montgomery. Dan mentioned Mitchell Trubisky. I'm going to talk about the defense in creating turnovers and getting after Drew Brees. Yeah. Now, with all that being said, that's a lot, right?
No doubt.
I mean, it's just
we're asking for a great game. We got a lot of the answers.
We got a lot. When you think about it, one thing that Drew Brees will do is he'll give you the football. You've got to catch it, though.
Okay.
You cannot drop it. He'll also fumble on sack fumbles. If Khalil Mack can do what he does, what he was brought there to do, they have an opportunity. But outside of that, New Orleans should win this game, man.
Well, really fast, Steve, with Michael Thomas, we just heard Shefty's report about Michael Thomas being back for the Saints most likely. How much does that affect this game, especially if you're on the Bears' side defensively? You add one more weapon to the Saints' offense.
Well, it's going to engineer that offense and give it some gas to go. I mean, we all know what Michael Thomas means to Drew Brees when he's in that lineup, to the offense as a whole, let alone Alvin Kamara. I mean, just think about it. If you got your full weapons with you on that offense, they're going to be dangerous and they're going to be explosive, and they're down cornerbacks in Chicago, by the way.
And Key, you know this, like a lot of their offense starts with Michael Thomas. You know, the different places they move him around just to create matchups for other people, specifically Alvin Kamara. I will go to the defensive side for the Bears and go, I'm interested to see, are they going to take Khalil Mack or a Robert Quinn or Akeem Hicks and bring them inside? Because if you just line them on the outside of your defensive lines, they're going to get chipped all day.
It's got to start with Khalil Mack.
But they got to move him inside a little bit.
That can wreck a game.
Push that pocket side.
Hey, if you're a Bears fan, they're saying there's a chance, okay?
Well,
we're just getting started on NFL Live.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And the 2020 regular season is complete in college football. You know what that means? It's mock draft time. ESPN draft analyst Todd McShay released a first-round mock draft today. Here's a look at the top five picks. No surprise at the top with the Jaguars taking Trevor Lawrence. Devontae Smith reuniting with Tua Tagovailoa in Miami. Of course, the two Alabama Crimson Tide stars, and the Falcons finding their successor to Matt Ryan in BYU's Zach Wilson. So, Dan, you see that number one overall pick being projected by Todd as Trevor Lawrence. What do you think about that? Any chance that Trevor is not the number one pick?
Nope. Trevor Lawrence has been the number one pick since the national title game 2 years. You know, I think that at the quarterback position nowadays, it is so much about the physical talent. And you're looking for big, strong, athletic guys that have big, powerful arms. They're sudden. They can be used with their feet. They're dynamic playmakers. And you allow those guys' talents to just be reign supreme, right? So Trevor Lawrence is kind of done this ever since he got to Clemson and stepped on the field there. That being said, I've had six of his games to call for ESPN. Everything that he is physically, he's that mentally. Like, he is on the mental ability to control the line of scrimmage and see coverage and know where to go with the football, but also like the mental maturity to want to be on the journey for greatness. Trevor Lawrence has. This is a lock number one pick. This is a guy that, as long as the Jacksonville Jaguars do right by him and surround him with the right people, they will flip their franchise very quickly. He's going to be a superstar in the NFL.
There's no question he has talent, for sure, Dan. There's no question about it. But to call him a lock. We don't know. Jacksonville didn't even have a general manager or a head coach, right? We're assuming, based on their needs, that he's the guy. You have to think about, what if Urban Meyer takes that job? Is it Justin Fields if he decides to do that? Or is it Trevor Lawrence?
If Urban Meyer takes the job in Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence would be an All-Pro under 3 years.
No, but do we know that he likes him versus Justin Fields? Is it that far apart? Because there's a long cycle, as you know, being a quarterback from January to April.
Sure.
There's a lot of due diligence. You got to get him in the room, got to see the board. We look at the film and the tape. There was a lot of questions based on the Indiana game and the Northwestern game,
what Justin Fields was.
I think he answered against Clemson. No. Can he hit the targets? Can he hit the side of a bus? Yes. Can he throw the deep ball? Buckets. I mean, so when you look at that, I wouldn't just say a lot. Yeah. I would say there's a chance, but not a lot.
It's interesting because there's not that many opportunities for these guys, Marcus, in college to show what they can do against the best. And Justin Fields just put a whole lot of good stuff on tape. What do you think about all this with Trevor Lawrence? You think he's the number one overall pick for sure?
Yeah, I think he's the lock for the number one pick. But the intangibles and the things that he brings to the table is the reason why. I mean, look, we saw Trevor Lawrence perform and have great performances throughout football. But y'all know me. It's a caveat. And, Lori, you heard me say this about Tua when he was coming out. He struggled in big games. That's the reality of it. Like, the last two impressions that we have of Trevor Lawrence in huge games, he did not play well. He turned the football over, and the quarterback on the other side outdueled him by a wide margin. So, listen, if that's anything taken into effect, and you all know how I feel about the road that Clemson has had to the national championship for a lot of these years. And I know a lot of people get mad about me. Me and Dan have argued this. You only play the people on your schedule, but that don't mean the people on your damn schedule good until you face a really good team. So, listen, I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a superstar. I'm in full agreement with Dan. I just wonder how much GM, scouts, personnel is going to look at those games, the LSU game and Ohio State in particular, and try to dissect him and pull him apart.
All right, Todd McShay is with us now. And Todd, you made the list here. We're going to get you on Justin Fields in moments, but I want to start with Trevor Lawrence and your thoughts about him. Is he a lock at the number one overall spot?
He's a lock. There are so many teams that would love to have this pick. The Jaguars haven't picked it number one overall in 26 years of their existence. And now they finally have a chance to take a player that can absolutely transition and make their organization different for once. And they're going to do it. The Jets would love to have him if they were picking at one. There are a bunch of other teams that would love to have him at one. But Trevor Lawrence, to me, is the highest graded player that I've had since 2012 with Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. And I think from a physical standpoint and then a mental standpoint, the maturity that he has is so different than all these other quarterbacks. It's Trevor Lawrence and then a big drop-off between Zach Wilson and all the other quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's interesting, Todd. You mentioned that. I think people get so caught up in the physical traits of Trevor Lawrence that they almost miss some of that great intangible that he brings to the table. Let's carry on with these other quarterbacks that you kind of mentioned there. Five quarterbacks taken in the first round of Todd McShay's mock draft. If this were to happen, that would be just the second time in the common draft era since 1967, the five QBs selected in the first 21 picks. Maybe the biggest surprise for a lot of us here and maybe everywhere, Justin Fields falling to the Patriots at 15 overall. So Dan, when you saw Todd's list earlier today, you had about 100 questions about it, as would be natural. So, Todd, I'm going to let Dan have the floor here for a second and ask you one question.
Todd, I want to ask you, how are you weighing kind of those guys' performances in their biggest game? You know, Zach Wilson against a good Coastal team struggles, and then Justin Fields against a really good Clemson team dominates. How are you weighing those two performances?
I think Zach brings the ability to extend plays and throw the ball down the field. Look at his numbers. Look at his percentages. Watch the tape, as I'm sure you have. His ability to throw the ball down the field and extend plays is better than, I think, any quarterback outside of Trevor Lawrence in this class. And that's the difference. Now, I could have put I could have put a quarterback at 7 to Detroit. I could have put a quarterback to Dallas potentially at 10. But then there's kind of a drop-off between all those other teams. They don't need quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So he goes down to number 15, and that to me is the difference.
Yeah, when you guys think about Justin Fields, and we heard kind of what you said about it, Keith, so I want to go to Marcus here first for a second. What is it about Fields that makes you think maybe he should be a little higher up in this draft, in your opinion?
Well, look what he just did. I mean, look, I'm about games. I'm about games. I'm about how you perform in the games. And I take Todd down memory lane. Like, Todd and I had a conversation about Dak Prescott when he was coming out of Mississippi State. And sometimes you just know dudes have a certain quality about them that's going to not only galvanize the teammates around them, but also he can take it to the game. And we've seen Justin struggle like we've seen every quarterback that's projected in this draft. But when we look at the NFL today, why wouldn't you want to try taking the chance on Justin Fields? Why wouldn't you, after that performance in the semifinal game, move him up, tick him up to a notch above Zach Wilson, would be my question to all of the experts. And I know we're looking at a litany of tape, and I know Justin Fields had great moments last year with Ohio State before we dealt with this type of season. But I look, you as good as your last game, and his last game was pretty damn good.
I think teams are going to move up. We see it every single year. It's, you know, the Texans moved up and got their quarterback. Like, everyone moves up, and that's what's going to happen. Kuiper made these rules that you're not allowed to move people up in terms of the board. But I think the Patriots are going to move up, or some team's going to move up, and we're probably going to see these three quarterbacks go in the top five when it's all said and done.
Yeah, said and done, as you know, Todd, things move around. That's why I said from January to April, it's a million different things that go on. We don't know what some of these head coaches and general managers would like if they had an opportunity to draft these quarterbacks. And Justin Fields, I mean, I'm with Marcus, man. I see it with my own eyes. I get it. I understand it. But I see it with my own eyes.
Before you jump in, I think, Key, like, if he goes and guts Nick Saban Monday night.
Got a big chance there. Big opportunity.
I think that would be very impressive to the NFL executive.
Yeah, he'd have to do that first. But we'll see if it happens. We're going to be talking about the draft a ton here on this show. And if you need more Todd McShay in your life, we all do, right? Todd joined by Mel Kiper Jr. and Adam Schefter at the top of the hour, 5 Eastern, over on ESPN
that's gonna
Plus.
Be a fight.
With his complete mock draft 1.0. Tune into that, Todd. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So how about those Ravens and Lamar? 2 playoff appearances in his career, both ending in losses. The one last year, of course, to the Titans, who he'll see Sunday. And listen, it's been a small sample size, but Lamar hasn't been successful in the postseason. He can change up that narrative big time in a couple days. And look, Jackson's been sensational in the regular season, but he's looked like a different player in the playoffs. In fact, no quarterback has a lower total QBR than Jackson in the playoffs with a minimum of 2 starts. Since the metric was first introduced in 2006, he sits alongside Andy Dalton and just behind Rex Grossman. The good news for Jackson, though, he faces a Titans team that has allowed 36 touchdown passes this season. That's tied for the most in NFL history for a playoff team. Marcus, you see those numbers there. You think about Lamar and the way that he's played lately. How concerning are those numbers?
Oh, for the other team, it's concerning. I mean, you look at what Lamar Jackson has been doing for the last month. And you think about how this Ravens team has responded to being a team that needed to win all of their games to get into the playoffs. And then you know the type of conundrum that defenses are going to be in. Not only is it the run game and you having to defend that, but also you get so concerned, eyes start going to the backfield, and then you see this transpire. And I believe more so this year, coming into the playoffs, the Baltimore Ravens are primed to do whatever they want to do offensively, because they know that if they need to line up and run the football with all of those creative runs that they have, the zone reads, the options that Lamar has on any given play, is going to create passes downfield for him. So I'm not concerned at all. I'm more excited to see the Ravens in this playoffs than I was when they were 14-2 and he was MVP.
This probably is something that Lamar Jackson and his teammates have been eyeing since last year. This is something that they've probably been thinking about for 2 years, Marcus. When you're talking about going one and done in the postseason the way the Ravens have in each of the last 2 years, that's something that you really think about, that you grow from, that you learn about, and I think that you act upon. I think it really serves as motivation. Yeah. And Lamar Jackson has got enough motivation here to know that he does not want to lose his first postseason game for a third straight year and have all the noise that comes along with that during the offseason, especially when he's first eligible to sign his first NFL contract extension. Think back to last offseason. Patrick Mahomes wins the Super Bowl, signs an extension. Deshaun Watson gets the Texans to the playoffs, wins a playoff game, plays electric, signs an extension. Lamar Jackson's going to sign an extension. That's not a secret with the Baltimore Ravens. But don't you think it'll be an easier, more lucrative deal if he wins this game and has a nice playoff run?
Yeah, as hard as maybe some of his doubters are on him, Lamar Jackson is maybe harder on himself. Good point. His QBR hadn't been good in both of those playoff games. By the way, guys, he's been extremely hot down the stretch of this season, posting the highest QBR in the NFL since returning from the COVID-19 reserve list in Week 13. All right, let's get to some pass catchers that are important. Wild card weekend. Key and Dan, take it away.
Well, thank you for getting us to the important people, the quarterbacks and the receivers.
Oh,
okay,
man.
Now that Key is here, wanted to ask him, who are your three most important pass catchers this weekend? Shockingly, that you would put yourself up there for all three.
I'm
pitchers.
Not producing this.
Hold on. You told me who this was. Like when these happened, you remember these?
Detroit, slant between double team.
And he called you out, Dre Bly. Said
that
you
was Dre Bly.
Him.
That was a post the New England Patriots from Tom Tupa. That was a shallow cross.
Say, bro, buckle your chin strap.
No, man, that's the swag, baby.
Oh gosh,
that's the swag.
All right. So the most important pass catchers this week, number one, who you going with? Okay, DK Metcalf. Why? Tell me why.
Because he's going up against Jalen Ramsey.
Okay.
And Jalen Ramsey has had his number in the past in the last two games.
Default.
8 catches in under 80 yards. Now, he's a vertical bomb threat. Yes,
okay.
He is a big man with a Ferrari engine. But I want to see him do things with sudden quickness, be able to separate away from Jalen Ramsey, because Jalen Ramsey can get with him and dance with him, because he knows the only thing that's his strength is the vertical stretch
big
game.
Ball.
Everything is on the move.
Okay. So, give me a route concept that you – give me one route that you want to see him win this weekend other than the go route.
A shake route. Let
okay.
me see him
shake
change
route,
direction.
Step inside, get back to the corner.
Stem inside, a post back to the corner. Give me something like that. Move him around. Line him up in the slot.
And let me say this. I think Russell needs to look his way, especially a little bit early on in that game more. Give him chances against Jalen. Okay. DK starts us off. Who's number two?
Number two is Marquise Brown, Hollywood
okay.
Brown,
surprising.
The Baltimore Ravens. It's not surprising. Here's why, though. Because all they need to do is connect when the ball is in the air.
All right.
What does it? How many times will you think Lamar throw? 19?
Probably,
so,
yes.
In 5 targets to Hollywood Brown?
Okay.
Make them count.
So, but you want big balls out of
Hollywood.
Big
balls down the field. You're going to run the ball. Play action pass. Get those linebackers and those safeties peeking. Get them sucked up. Look at that. That's sudden quickness. That's changing, stopping on a dime and changing direction at all. And he's not going to slow down.
Right.
So you got to be able
and
to do those
and
things.
And I would challenge him, because he said this year, like, what's the point of having soldiers if you're not going to use them? If you're going to catch it.
That's like, what I'm talking
it.
About. You
and,
need that.
And you notice, when you do push the ball downfield to a guy like Hollywood Brown, think of an umbrella, okay, people? When you open up an umbrella and it's just closed, it's here, right? When you open it, it elevates, right? That's the secondary for a defense. When you hit those deep shots, those safeties, those corners, they stay farther back, and that's really going to help pound the run game.
5 or 6 shots for him, they got to make it count.
Okay. Now, number three. I like it. Number three, who do you got?
Gronkowski, Rob Gronkowski. I don't have Mike Evans.
Pass catchers.
No, there is no Godwin.
Okay.
There is no Antonio Brown. I'm not looking at any of that. I'm looking at Gronkowski. Big playoffs. He knows what it's about in the playoffs. And so does his counterpart in Tom Brady. They know how to connect. They've been in this situation before.
Yep.
For the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to advance, he's got to have a big game. He's got to be able to do what he's done in the past, run the seam routes, take advantage of that type of situation, put him in the slot, line him up, run the 7 route, mismatching the red zone on the smaller corners, fade stops, those sort of things. And I think the Buccaneers will win this football game because of Brady and Gronkowski.
Yeah, I think this thing that stands out when you watch the tape, he doesn't break his feet down, right? Like, keep that big body moving. Keep him. Don't ask him to settle down. And then we've seen him dominate in the red zone because they got the connection, right? Like, Tom,
they know each other
the same way.
And the one thing that defensive backs in that secondary, the smaller guys, they don't want to hit that big dude, man. Uh-huh. You know what that looked like coming down here?
All right. So when these three guys ball out this weekend, everybody hit up Keyshawn, say thank you. You killed it. The three most important pass catchers of Wild Card Weekend.
Put my picture back Keyshawn, up, man. I don't want to look at them no more.
Shocking. He wants his picture back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's get back to Adam Schefter with some injury updates from Saturday's games. Adam, what do we know about how healthy Alex Smith will be for their game against the Bucs?
Probably not as healthy as he needs to be, Laura. The fact of the matter is Washington football team coach Ron Rivera has yet to commit to Alex Smith as a starter, and Taylor Heinicke continues to take reps with the first team offense in practice. Again, if we go back to last week, Smith looked hobbled by the calf injury that he's been nursing for a little period of time here right now. We'll see if he can get through it on Saturday night in a game. Washington has to have him to have a chance to beat Tampa. As for Jamal Adams, he said this week that he'll be playing despite the fact that he injured his shoulder last week. He would not want to miss playing in his first postseason game against a division rival. No question in his mind, as he himself said, that he will be out there Saturday playing for the Seattle Seahawks. As for Jared Goff, in that same game, Laura, he's been at practice, limited, but Rams coach Sean McVay wants to wait until Saturday before making a decision. If Jared Goff can't go, it'll be the former financial analyst, John Wolford, stepping in as the Rams starting quarterback here. Goff threw some nice passes in practice yesterday, but also a couple of passes that were not so nice, so we'll see whether he can make it through. And Cooper Kupp activated off the reserve COVID list. He is expected to play, as is Michael Brockers and Mike Evans, back at practice today for Tampa 2, Laura.
All right, big news all over there. Thank you so much, Adam Schefter. And now to some troubling news in our country. A mob loyal to President Donald Trump stormed the U.S. Capitol yesterday and forced the building into lockdown. The mob breached security and delayed Congress from certifying results of President-elect Joe Biden's election victory over Trump. Four people died, including a woman who was shot by U.S. Capitol Police. The building was cleared last night, and the certification was completed early this morning. Marcus, it's been just about 24 hours since this happened. What are your thoughts today?
Yeah, listen, I know, you know, we have a good time on this show. We family, and we, you know, try to create a reprieve, a exit from people's everyday normal. But I also want people to remember we humans, too. We people. We not just sitting on here for an hour entertaining and not feeling the same things that's going on in the country. Listen, for me, a black man in the United States of America, yesterday was not shocking at all. It's been festering for 4 years. I mean, we can try to coddle it, call it all kind of other stuff. This is not right. And everybody's in a panic. And now, you know, people in government are, oh, my goodness, I didn't think it would come to this. Well, what the hell you thought it was going to come to? What you thought all of the things that's led up to what we watched yesterday was going to lead to? And then we all know the narrative. We hear it on every news station. We hear it on every channel. If this was a Black Lives Matter, or if it was black people storming the Capitol, this outcome would have been absolutely different. So what I want people to understand is just live in that truth, that what you saw yesterday is exactly what this country has been festering for the last 4 years. And now we don't know how to move forward without having to put it in every social norm that everybody is talking about, everybody is a part of. This conversation is going on in homes. This conversation is going on television. The conversation is going on in DC. But I'm not going to get on television and throw a rant and rave. I am not shocked. I expect it something like this to happen after what I've been watching transpire for the last 4 years.
I think it's just, it's obviously it's ridiculous. We all can agree to that. It's something that shouldn't have taken place. It, like Marcus said, it's been festering for quite some time now. It was whatever you want to call it, dog whistling, whatever it is that you want to call it. I think in the end, we see exactly what it was. That's not patriotic, clearly, right? I mean, it's clearly not. I go back to Kaepernick several years ago. He simply kneeled down, had nothing to do with anything from a political standpoint. Police brutality is what he was talking about in our communities, things like that. But he was called unpatriotic. And then we see what has taken place in the Capitol. It's ridiculous. And I'm not going to sit up here at all and act like I'm oblivious to what was going on yesterday because I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm supposed to just talk about sports. I'm not going to do
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to do that. That's unrealistic, man. I live in reality. You know, and I think every single day as a black man about all the what ifs. You know, you can point to what happened in the summertime and you can say that the Black Lives Matter protests had some violence and all of those things. But who agitated those situations when it was peaceful protests? We didn't see them doing things just going wild, crazy until they were agitated and they were frustrated for many years. People been frustrated for many years. Storm the Capitol and do that? Do that to the U.S. senators and congressmen? That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous.
I think the first is, like, I appreciate y'all sharing. You know, like, I know that's not easy, or I can't imagine that it's easy, so I appreciate Key and Marcus sharing. You know, a good title doesn't make you a good leader. It doesn't make you a good person. I think yesterday we all know we know the difference between right and wrong. It's pretty obvious that what happened yesterday was wrong.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, like, there's people on the show that I consider to be like family to me. I can't feel their pain the same way or look at it the same way, but I know it hurts them. So if it hurts them, it hurts me because of the way that our relationships are. And that's the simplest way for me to say it is it hurts my friends. Therefore, it impacts me.
Marcus, did you have something else?
Yeah, listen, being a black man in this country, D.O., we have our issues.
Yeah.
But dude, we family. And, yeah. You know, I tell people that screaming to the world. The bottom line is yesterday is an infringement on people that's for right. You made the point when you first started talking. Like, people that want to do the right thing, that expect the right thing, that want to see things be better transpire, to see black people want to have the same type of things that this country offers to every citizen, to be treated and respected the same type of way, all of that is valuable. But what you said at first is the most important thing. Yesterday wasn't just an infringement on black people. Yesterday was an infringement on everybody that wants to treat people the right way and everybody that can accept when results don't go their way. Yesterday, you saw a bunch of sore losers. You saw a bunch of people that's been riled up by a sore loser. That's what we witnessed yesterday. So, yes, it's the black and white element because that's always an elephant in the room in this country. But yesterday, you saw an infringement on people that want to see the right things happen, period.
All of us are parents here on this set, and all I can think is I just hope that we can find a way to make it better for our children in their futures. Violence is not the answer. We've got more NFL coverage after the break.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back here on NFL Live, listen, Deshaun Watson played great this year. In fact, led the league in passing, even though he had four wins to show for it. So certainly a year that he might like to forget. But even J.J. Watt apologized to Deshaun for wasting a season. Deshaun Watson thinking, listen, I've only got so much time to play this game. You hope he has a really long career, but it's a part of this. Since the season has ended, the Texans have hired a GM, Nick Caserio, and Deshaun Watson took to Twitter on Tuesday night when reports surfaced regarding Caserio taking over as Houston's GM, writing, quote, some things never change. Now, we don't know for sure if Watson was talking about that hire. Watson has actually since deleted that tweet. Let's bring in Adam Schefter here for more. Is there a sense, Adam? Oh, by the way, I do want to mention that Houston not going to interview Eric Bieniemy. So there's that, too. So, Adam, is there a sense that Watson is unhappy in Houston right now?
Well, Laura, I think if we go back to last offseason, there was a lot of speculation building that he was unhappy at that point in time once they traded DeAndre Hopkins. Then Houston gave him a new contract. Things seemed to quiet down for a little bit, but there was that tweet the other night that certainly raised a lot of eyebrows across the league. I don't think it was just coincidental that that tweet came on the night that the Texans were hiring a new general manager. We don't know the circumstances that led him to tweet what he did, but clearly he was not pleased about something. So that now will continue to sit out there with the Houston Texans and Deshaun Watson, and they'll have a new general manager and they'll have a new coach, and it looks like they're going to have some sort of headache on their hands. We'll see what happens with that.
Laura, how you pronounce the new GM name?
Caserio. I said it wrong.
Listen, I don't want to cast any aspersions on Caserio.
Caserio.
Hard C.
Whatever. I don't want to cast any aspersions on him. He may go in there and do a phenomenal job as GM. But wouldn't you think the Texans are a little bit tone deaf? Wasn't Bill O'Brien just coming from this same situation? Like, what would make you think that Deshaun Watson would subliminally tweet out some things never change and the New England Patriots of the South, I guess that's what the Houston Texans are trying to be, hired someone else from that organization? Listen, he's qualified. He does a tremendous job. No problem. But if you're Deshaun Watson, all right, you're at a point now in your career, you got to take the money because it's $175 million. Right. I don't care what's going on. I'm going to get that. But the bottom line is now he in a situation where he's looking around saying, okay, what are we going to do to build this thing? Like, I know I've been paid and I've shown you all that I can lift this team above even some of the talent. Remember, the Texans just pushed the Colts to the brink. They pushed a lot of good teams to the brink. So Deshaun ain't subliminal. Deshaun is mad as hell. I can tell y'all that.
Get out. That's what I would tell him. Get out of Houston. Marcus, I was with you the day that the contract got announced. And I remember we both said to each other, it's great, right? Like, he's had the injuries. He's worked so hard. Get your money. But I wish it wasn't in Houston. We had both said, like, yeah, man, because we don't trust that organization over the last couple years. Let me be very, very, very clear. There's only about a handful of quarterbacks in the NFL right now that you can unquestionably, without hesitation, say, that dude can win a Super Bowl. He's that good. Deshaun Watson is one of them. Deshaun Watson is so good that you can win multiple Super Bowls with. Get out. Houston can't do it for you. Leave. They haven't done right by you since you've been there. You should win Super Bowls. Leave.
Where's he going?
I don't care where.
He's under contract. They're not getting ready to blow that contract up. And I'm with you. I'm with you. Get out. But I don't think he can. With that being said, the NFL is funny. Like, it's crazy. Because in the NBA, what do they do with superstars, man? They go to them and figure out how to get things done with coaches in the front office.
Sure, right.
They just gave this dude $175 million. I would think.
They go that, ask him. Yeah.
Hey, Deshaun, what do you think? What do you think about the general manager and the head coach? Shouldn't we interview? You see what that Eric Bieniemy's done with Patrick Mahomes?
Why would we have a say in it at all? Like, you would think.
Let's have a cup of coffee, something. I just, the NFL is, they just, I don't get
hey,
it.
You say they can move the deal. Like, what would be enough?
I'll put four teams out there. New England, give them three first-rounders. It's worth it.
Yeah, but San Francisco, it's the cap hit.
Give them, but the contract's not outrageous, Key. It's not a financial outrageous thing.
It's really not.
Dallas.
It's really not.
Dallas. What about that first-round pick this year?
Dak
and then Miami.
Miami,
the third pick, Tua, and next year's first-round pick. Like, I'm telling you, you're talking about a guy.
Dan, I'm giving it up.
What are you giving up, Marcus?
I'm giving it up. I'm with Dan.
I just don't think if he wants out of there, I'm with it. If you told me I can take the contract, I get Deshaun Watson, I'll give you three first rounders, where do I sign?
Yeah.
We'll get the deal done today.
Yeah, San Francisco, you name it, a bunch of teams. Oh, yeah,
wow. I'll give them up. All right, of your list, which one is the best fit for Deshaun?
San Francisco. First of all, let me take them out. That's good for every quarterback.
True.
I think if you look at Miami and go with some of the picks that they do still have, or Indy, no doubt, but Miami and Dallas are both intriguing.
All right, so we just sent Deshaun Watson to every team in the NFL. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. We'll see what happens there.
They're not going to send him, but Indy would be great.
We'll see you tomorrow on NFL Live. Thanks for watching.